deathless ocean. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if one has to just cursorily ponder over the opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, over the various promises that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes of forgiveness, of compassion, or kindness, it's not an exaggeration, but it's a reality. The only conclusion one can arrive at is that it is almost as if Allah is looking for some excuse to forgive us. The month of Ramadan, which just passed, is a manifest example of that. And ulama say that Ramadan represented a season of forgiveness and compassion and kindness. And it is not coincidental that the one season finished and now another season has started. From the first of Shawwal, we've just started Zulqa'dah now. From the first of Shawwal is another season. I'm using the word season, not referring to climatic seasons. Season in the sense that another great opportunity Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Because from the first of Shawwal begins what we call a Yame Hajj, the days of Hajj. And whilst logically it is not expected that every one of us every year will go for Hajj, however, there are certain asbaq lessons, haqaiq realities that are attached to this great and fundamental fifth pillar of Islam, that it is absolutely vital and necessary that every year you and I, as people of Iman, we revisit these realities. Because intrinsically, as Muslims, there is an unbreakable link and bond between Iman and Salah, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La hadha fil Islam liman taraka Salah. If Salah is not in your life, if Salah is not in your life, you have no share in Islam. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu describes Salah as the head in the body. And every Salah, before you start that Salah, what are you required to do? Face the Qibla. Face Kaabatullah. In every Salah, whether you're going for Hajj, whether you're going for Umrah, whether the intention is there or not, as Muslims, an unbreakable bond is established between us and Kaabatullah. If we look at our five pillars of Islam, ulama explain, they break it down for us. They say, La ilaha illallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Buni al-Islam wa ala khams. Foundationally, Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described it like an edifice or building. He said its foundation is on five things. Shahadat of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulama explain, what is that shahadat? They say kalima is kalima ma'rifat. To ma'rifat in this context, in other words, introduction. Kalima ma'rifat, when you recite the kalima, ma'rifat, introduction, recognition of Allah takes place. After introduction, in the natural progression of things, what is the next stage? They say ta'alluq. When you have been introduced to something, the next thing is you want to develop a relationship with that entity. They say ta'alluq with Allah is established through salah. Aqimis salata li dhikri. Allah says, establish salah for my remembrance. One of the most effective means of developing one's relationship with Allah is salah. Marifat, Taluk, and then the next level in this progression is what we call Muhabbat and love. Ulama explain, they say Muhabbat and love is established through Zakat. Sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he complains of a spiritual malady, the crux of the riwayat. What is his spiritual malady? What is he complaining about? Mujhe maut ka shauk nahi hai. Mujhe maut ka dar hai. I have the fear of death. The shock and the inclination of death is not there in my heart. If you have to break this down, what is maut? What is death? Naturally, every one of us are afraid. This is something we shy away from. But in reality, what is maut and death? Ulama say, al-maut jisrun yusilul habib ilal habib. They say, death is a bridge. Death is a bridge that connects the lover with his beloved. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam desired the companionship of those most high. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she describes the last words, Allahumma rafiq al-a'la. Allahumma rafiq al-a'la. Al-mawtu jisrun yusilu al-habibi ila al-habib. The desire for death is not there. In other words, the shock, the inclination, the anticipation, the overbearing love and desire to meet Allah. And the human being's psyche has been designed in such a way that it is said, whatever you love, your heart will follow it. Allah Ta'ala, I'm digressing. Unfortunately, Jumu'ah is very, very limited time, not much time to go into details. But when Allah speaks of infaq, when Allah speaks of spending in the Quran, very often I say this, hamein maal jama kharch karna aate hai, hamein maal kharch karna nahi aate. We know how to accumulate and gather and collect wealth. What we don't know how to do is how to spend wealth. That is why more often than not it is a tragedy. It is an absolute travesty when we see the suffering that the ummah is experiencing on an international scale. No eye can be dry, no heart cannot be feeling the pain right now of our brothers and sisters that are starving, that have been cut off from every decent avenue of livelihood, their homes and their livelihoods completely destroyed and obliterated. Allah give them the highest ranks in akhirat. But as Muslims, we are required to identify with that pain. The least, identify with the plight of the poor. Like I said, we know how to gather wealth, we don't know how to spend. When we spend also, it is israf, extravagance, spending where we're not supposed to spend. Where we are supposed to spend, that idea or even that realization is not there in us. When it comes to infaq, when it comes to spending, many of us have this idea, Shariat advocates zakat. Zakat is in its place. 10 places in the Quran. Aqimu salah, atu zakah. Aqimu salah, atu zakah. Allah commands us with zakat 10 places in the Quran. 9 places, aqimu salah wa atu zakah. And the 10th place, aqimna salah wa atina zakah. But spending of a Muslim is not confined to zakat. 82 places in the Quran, Allah speaks of infaq, 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 spend, spend, spend. That is over and above zakat. Because a Muslim is not kanjus. A Muslim can never be makichus. A Muslim can never be a miser. Al-Bakhil. Baidum min Allah, baidum min al-nas, baidum min al-jannah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. He said, "Kanjus, miserly. If you are a miserly person," he said, "you are far from Allah, far from the people, and far from Jannat." Allah make us sakhi. Allah make us amongst those who are generous. Coming back to the point we were making, infaq, infaq, infaq. Allah says, spend, spend, spend. 82 places plus minus in the Quran. But what is very interesting, like I said, I digressed. When Allah talks of spending, Allah refers to two avenues of spending. Spend in Allah's way, not only with your wealth. Spend in Allah's way with your jaan also. Jaan or maal, jaan or maal. Quran does not only speak of spending wealth, Quran speaks of physical spending. Give your time to Allah's deen. Spend in Allah's way, life and wealth. Amwalikum wa anfusikum, amwalikum wa anfusikum. 82 places. Maal jaan, maal jaan, maal jaan. The point, kaun si cheez muqaddam hona chahiye? Which should be mentioned first logically? Logically, Allah should have said, spend your life and then wealth. Because if you're not alive, no one can do anything. Logically, the sequence should have been life first, then wealth. Yet Quran, this is Quran. And this is أُحْكِمَتْ آيَاتُهُ ثُمَّ فُصِّلَتْ مِنْ لَدُنْ حَكِيمٍ خَبِيرٍ. Quran is the source, the epitome, the pinnacle of every hikmat and wisdom. Yet, completely illogically in the Quran, when Allah talks of spending life, wealth is mentioned first, then life. Wherever, أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنْفُسِكُمْ. Maal first, then jaan. Why? This defies logic. Mufassirin explain, because this human being is such that his love for wealth is greater than his love for life also. People will sell their respect, they'll sell their lives, they'll kill somebody, kill themselves also behind the pursuit of wealth. And Allah has designed this human being in such a way that whatever is beloved to you, your heart will follow it. What a beautiful example. The great grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zainul Abideen bin Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. Whenever a poor person would come to him and he would spend, he was an epitome of generosity. And we find this particularly in Seerah, the Ahl Bayt, the family, the descendants of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the thing that shines about them. Throughout history, the Ahlul Bayt were people of great generosity. Zainul Abideen radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he would spend on a poor man, he would profusely thank him. And he would say to him, "Shukr to my Allah. Allah has sent a porter to transport my wealth to Jannat for me." So Sahabi says, "Ya Rasulullah, I fear death." What does my Nabi say to him? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Do you have wealth?" He says, "Yes." He said, "Spend it in the way of Allah." This is the ilaj. This is the cure to that bimari. Shauk for akhirat. Shauk for akhirat will come when? When you will send your wealth to akhirat. Because the heart follows the wealth. The heart follows that which you love. So ilaj, spend, shauk to meet Allah, shauk for Jannat, shauk for akhirat will come. Coming back to the point we were making, kalima, marifat, salah, taluk. Next stage of progression, muhabbat, through zakat, because the heart follows the wealth. What is the next stage? Progression. Love evolves to a state of ecstatic love.